One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Again, you wouldn't believe this. Jamie Elliott did that. That's a goal, a long goal from 50. It puts them in front to win the game with a few seconds to go.
The goal is still kicked up. It's gone straight into the goal umpire. And thankfully.
Welcome to the Clicking Balls podcast. This is an AFL Round 10 wrapped episode. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is a highlight of the week. So, Brenton, you got a highlight from the weekend past?
Yes, and I'm going to let one go through the keeper for Josh, because I know what his is going to be. mine was a bit different. Sunday. Usually we're used to having the American sports on Sunday mornings, and we have to get up early to watch them, and they're billed as Saturday night events with your mates and whatnot. So Sunday was a big event for my favorite sports. Anyway, we had Formula 1 Monaco Grand Prix, followed by the Indianapolis 500, which I've never watched before, but was just watching because Fernando Alonso, who's a great F1 driver, was racing a one-off race there. And then followed up by UFC, which I didn't even know was on at night.
Sweden.
UFC Stockholm.
Yeah.
And also had a Joe Rogan podcast at the same time, a fire companion, without Eddie Bravo. So my highlight was a Sunday night spent watching good sports at a reasonable time. Well, my reasonable time, anyway. I'm a night person. I'm not really a morning person.
It's a long marathon. What's that about?
10 p.m. to 4 a.m. roughly, I think.
Yeah, it was about that.
Very close.
Yeah, it was pretty good. The worst part was is that I watched the whole Indianapolis 500 until about 3 laps before Fernando Alonso's engine blew up because I fell asleep. I did a pretty solid effort and missed the actual finish of it. But the funniest thing was is this other former Formula One driver named Takuma Sato, who was a crazy motherfucker. He managed to scrape through for the win.
Yeah, he did well.
And I was watching this going, Takuma Sato, oh, that dude, he was crazy. He was like the original Pastor Maldonado.
He was the dive bomber.
Yeah. So that was my fun Sunday night spent watching all my favorite American sports at reasonable times.
And you got a beer of the week as well?
We do. We've got, speaking of my American sports, I've got another American beer, Firestone Walker Easy Jack. Had a couple of them in the night time, so had to delete a few tweets during the Indy 500.
They go well, were they?
Yeah. So yeah, if you want to get stuck into your sports and get stuck into Twitter, yeah, get a couple of them. Actually, speaking of getting stuck into Twitter, I mean, one of the biggest sort of things that's been procrastinating me from doing my actual job is Andrew Bogut on Twitter. I saw it on the front page of whatever the fucking paper was in the newsstands. And I was like, how the fuck can that make the front page of a newspaper? But I love how he just dishes it out completely honestly to everyone on Twitter. Doesn't hold anything back.
Does he care?
Yeah.
He's making $12 million a year.
Yeah. It's just a 7'2" half Bogan from where's this from?
He's from, I know he barracks for Essendon.
No, it's out near Noble Park, near where my girlfriend lives, Clayton.
Right.
His dad's got like a car shop there, so he loves his cars. Honest, down to earth kid, rides by a bike around at the moment.
But, loves his bombers.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that was my favourite highlight of the week. All that and a beer.
Josh, you got a highlight? Does it involve the Northern Football League?
Well, that's. I was going to go with a different one.
Okay.
The same Monaco Grand Prix, Fernando Alonso passed on the Grand Prix, which is rare for Monaco, even though it's not the best racing. It's the most prestigious.
Yeah.
Been going since like 1925 or some shit.
Yeah. I wonder if you can legitimately die racing that one too.
Oh, yeah. And Wehrlein nearly did.
Mm. Is it because of the concrete walls or because sometimes Whiplash gets out onto the... gets Tony Stark in his car and whips it in half.
The funny thing is about that circuit is that it's not closed off for the whole weekend. Once the session's finished, they open it up so that the cars can drive on there because people live right at the track, so they have to be better in order to get to their apartments and stuff.
I thought they were all helipads and shit.
Pretty much boats.
Part of the world.
If you've got a big enough yacht, yeah.
The funny part about that bit in Iron Man is Tony Stark's got to fight the dude with whips. Where are all the motherfuckers with guns?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. He's not bulletproof.
Yeah, didn't pass the idiot test, did it?
No, not really. But I mean, you know, if we're starting to pick holes in Marvel movies.
I'm just saying, you could have thrown a rock at the dude.
I like how they fight everything and they go, oh, and this chick's got magic, but wait at the back, wait at the back. We'll let these guys go first. This one, he's really fit, right? This one's got a suit of armor, but you know, he'll go next to the one that's really, really fit and fast. And this one shoots arrows, and you've got magic. But don't worry about the magic. Don't worry about the magic.
And that guy can make the world spin the other direction. Just have a seat for a second.
Don't worry about it, mate.
Like, the Avengers all assemble, and Hulk's like, I got this, dickheads. Like, well, we've got a god, we've got a dude who's on steroids. No, I'm the fucking Hulk. I'll just belt the shit out of everything. But anyway, Monica, they managed to get a live hookup with Jensen Button, who was taking over Alonso's seat, and Button retired, booted last up over in the US, and Alonso said, you know, in his Spanish accent that I shall now attempt to do, good luck, Jensen, I hope you do very well. And Jensen said, cheers, I'm going to pee in your seat. And they both had a bit of a giggle.
Like a good smart ass.
Yeah, sad part was that he actually crashed out on, I can't remember what turn number, just before the tunnel there, by trying to make through a gap that Wehrlein had not really left open.
No.
Got underneath Wehrlein's tyres, and Wehrlein ended up on a 90-degree angle with the top of the car right in the barrier. I saw that and thought he'd actually died.
I thought he'd died too, yeah.
But they got on the radio and they're like, you all right, Pascal? Just that hope.
Yep, like, so shit.
He's like, yes, I'm okay. And they're like, oh, thank fuck.
There's another crazy one in the Indy too, Scott Dixon. I think he might be Australian. Mm. I mean, I know nothing about Indy.
He's Kiwi, I think.
He sounds like an Australian accent. Well, but he's not too bad, so that kind of makes him Australian.
Oh, if he's good, yeah.
Half-decent Kiwi equals Australian.
Yeah. Well, Whitaker's going to be fucking Australian when he fucks. Yeah.
Fucking it up. Was, like, made my butthole clench so much I got stuck to my seat.
Yeah. But with the Jensen Button thing, that crash actually put him out of the race. So I was kind of hoping that when he went down the escape route, he got out of the car, you know, put the steering wheel back in, put the shoulder pads off, and just walked off. I was hoping he'd be like, oh, shit, forgot. Run back to the car and just piss in the seat.
The old Calvin. Calvin style.
Unfortunately, he didn't. I think he just jumped the fence, jumped onto his yacht, $100 million yacht, and just started getting smacked.
And so you started that by saying that a live hookup. I did think you said live hooker, and I thought, yeah, well, Monaco. Okay,
there's plenty of those.
Plenty of those, I'm sure.
Might be a few less come today.
Come Monday, yeah, part of the cleanup crew.
Buried at sea.
Into the gutters.
Yeah, let's be honest, Vettel wasn't slaying any.
All right, we'll have a look at the footy then. I had a highlight of the week. Just very quickly, I know I sent you a message on it as well. I found that Barbecue Pitmasters Season 1 is on Netflix.
Yeah.
The weirdest show to put on Netflix. I don't get it at all. But I love that show because of how ridiculous it is.
Yeah. And I mean, it's sort of like the food version of Duck Dynasty.
A little bit. Because it's all down south. But what I love is the production of it. Because they have to tell you every step of the way what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they're like, whenever they show, you know, the judging, because it's all blind judging or whatever, and they go, all right, let's look at box number one. And then you've got Billy Bob in there. Box number one, tweet and boop, barbecue, that's me.
Yep.
But he has to say it about four times, because every time they cut, they do it again.
And you can tell it's like it's been eight takes and he cannot be fucking anymore.
What I love is it's a half-hour show for a cook where they have a 12-hour time limit.
Yeah.
So you can just, what I love is they're all rushing around, and then you just know they're kicking back going, all right, check that in 3 hours.
Yeah. Now I'm going to whittle some shit.
I don't know. There was even one part where some bloke, they're cooking, you know, fucking ribs and whatever, brisket. And he goes, well, you got a couple of hours. Might make up some burgers. He just made some burgers because he was hungry. He was a big boy too.
Yeah, no, it's like sex. It's only the start and the end you're interested in.
Exactly right. Yep. Not even the start. All right, we'll go to the footy. It was a decent round of footy this week. We'll start off on Thursday night with the Cats just getting over the line by 2 points against Port. They put up a good show. It's a shame that the focus of this match is all about the last minute or so.
Yeah, it's not at all because the Tigers aren't involved, so I'm glad it's someone else. First of all, I was a really fan of these Thursday night matches.
You liking them?
Yeah, I really do like it. It sort of makes the week shorter, and it's sort of like a bonus. I forgot it was on until I was thinking of the TV, getting dinner, and I was like, footy, yes!
Well, it's better than the footy show.
Yeah.
It's better than the footy show.
It actually is.
Yeah.
I don't like my team playing on Thursday, though, but I like Thursday night footy. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Because it's like, when it's done, it's like, oh, well, I've got nothing to look forward to for the rest of the weekend.
Well, then you wake up the next day thinking it's Saturday, which is, you know, not...
It's a bonus.
Yeah, it doesn't really help for productivity.
What'd you make of the whole Dixon thing? Like, for starters, they're saying, you know, he couldn't hear the warning or the clock or anything, but...
Oh, shit.
The problem was the camera was in the perfect position. You could see the countdown on the big screen, and it's right in front of him. Yeah. Well, you could have had a peek.
First off, I thought it was hilarious. Secondly, I thought it was rough. Like, the game is coming down. Let him take the shot. It was going to be, like, extremely long. But, I mean, he did take too long. But the whole question was about when does the clock start? And I've never really got a definitive answer about when it is supposed to start. Is it umpire's discretion?
No, it's as soon as he takes the mark.
Right.
No, I thought it was as soon as he set the mark.
No. Okay. As soon as he takes the mark. Unless, like, if, you know, the ball spills out or they've got to give the ball back to him.
Yep.
If the umpire blows time off.
Right.
But it's as soon as you're ready. Like, if he's knocked over and, you know, they've got to go collect the ball, then it doesn't start then. Or, you know, if you clear somebody out for the mark, you know, and all that kind of bullshit.
Yep. So it's pretty much up to umpire's interpretation.
Yes. It starts when he takes the mark, but the umpire can stop it, if that makes sense.
It makes about as much sense as any other rule.
Exactly.
And I reckon the umpire was looking at his clock, just ticking down, come on, motherfucker, come on. Ah, nut, you're stuffed.
And then the other was, I think it was Mitch Duncan, run into the protected zone behind him.
Yeah.
He probably did.
Yeah.
But it's not like Charlie Dixon knew what was going on anyway.
Yeah. I mean, isn't there a rule, though, also about, with, like, 200 people on the mark? Like, how close is that to be?
Oh, it's about 8 different rules.
They never enforced that one, so I'm like, if they're going to enforce that one, then why not go behind and give him some shit?
It didn't make a difference to him.
Let's be honest, if they did enforce every rule in the AFL to the degree that it's supposed to be enforced, the game would be unplayable.
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair, the best thing with Charlie Dixon is just don't put him off at all. He fucks up himself just fine.
No, 50 out is better than at the edge of the goal
square. Right in front, yeah, that's true. What about Robbie Gray? He's not getting much love from the umpires these days. It's getting to the point of almost the opposite Selwood. He's like the anti-Selwood.
There was a couple of good tackles on him.
Yeah.
Shame the ball wasn't there, though.
Yeah, and the camera was right there, umpire's right there. Nah, all good. Fair hold, play on.
Still kicks three. He had a good day.
He's playing well, but he's second, just hardened.
I don't know why he's not more in the middle, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's been a few... Well, it's been just about the whole year we've been saying it.
Yeah.
It might be just, look, we need more goals up forward. We've got more midfielders. We don't have more goal kickers.
Oh, this is true. And if anyone's going to be able to adapt to it, it's him and Wingard who can run in there and kick goals.
And Wingard's injured at the minute, so...
Yeah.
I do like Wingard in the middle, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's a gun everywhere, I think,
keeps him away from point posts as well.
But he is a 50-goal small forward.
Yeah, yeah.
50 goals a year. But, you know, maybe Robbie can kick 60. Who
and
knows?
Good for a few goal assists a game as well, which is always handy because you can't just lock him down and think that that's going to stop the scoring.
Yeah. The good signs for Port was even with the Dangerwood midfield that Geelong are running with, they still won centre clearances and clearances overall.
Yeah,
which is really a testament to their work rate around the guts.
Yeah, and I mean they're not really a tall midfield. So
besides Paddy Ryder,
I mean, is it a strategy or just sharking or something they definitely had to work on in order to take that to Geelong?
Yeah, Paddy Ryder was good.
He lost the hitouts, but I think he actually
he's dangerous around the ground.
Yeah, had a lot of impact in the flow of the game.
He's certainly an athlete. Mitch Duncan, All Australian. Good chance, I reckon.
He's going close.
Yeah.
He's had a couple of like average games so far. Was it Cunico's first game as well? Was it his first or second game?
Second, I think.
I thought he did all right. He put his hand up, did something. I thought this was a great end to a good game, only because it's always been a controversy. If it doesn't involve the Tigers, I'm always a fan of that.
It was an exciting finish. It was amazing that Dangerfield got that goal in the dying seconds or the final minute.
Yeah.
It's amazing it wasn't touched.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it either. Like, especially considering against GWS, Tigers weren't touched.
Touched, yeah. And Ollie Wines had a blinder too.
If Mitch Duncan's in All-Australian speculation...
Squad,
I'd say. You've got to throw Dangerfield and Selwood in there as well then, because they've
without a doubt. I think that goes without saying.
An all Geelong midfield.
Close. Yeah, close.
I think those two guys are at the selection table, like making a decision on who actually gets in.
Or the rest of them are asking, who else can we put in there?
Yeah.
I mean, only one that comes to mind is Sloan.
Oh, there's a lot of midfielders you can put in. I mean, Dusty Martin's doing all right.
Yeah, he's fair enough.
Adam Treloar's doing all right. Yeah, there's a few.
No, fuck Treloar.
But I think that was a very positive game for Port. Both teams wasteful in front of goal, especially Big Tomahawk.
Yeah.
Missed some sitters.
I mean, he's always been hit and miss, hasn't he?
Yeah.
When he's got that confidence behind him, he's all right, but I don't know. Seems sometimes a little bit soft.
Motlop had a better game, but still, I think
he won't be there next year.
Yeah.
He struggle, yeah.
I think they're going to... If Gary Ablett wants to come home, they will sell him in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah, of course they will. Yeah, and anybody would. All right, on to Friday night, and Hawthorn got out to jump against the Swans, and... came back and kicked two late goals, which is amazing for our second halves this year.
Yep, I was pretty surprised by that one.
Four goals in the second half was enough. That's all we needed.
It was a close game, but it was a better game than they both played this season.
It was 12th versus 16th.
Yeah.
And it looked like
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I think Swans were down to no bench at some stage, weren't they?
Oh, they lost two. Two on the bench. So that means, I had a look, I think they had 10 less interchanges on the day.
16 less.
Jeez.
There you go, 72 to 88. So yeah, no doubt it hurt. Like, especially young lad Lloyd, I think, went down in the first 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then Sam Reed didn't come out after half time.
Which is disappointing.
I thought Buddy was going to tear this apart.
How good is he? Yeah. Like, that was stupid. Because Swans were playing terrible, except for Buddy Franklin.
Yep.
He was the only reason they were within a shot. Some of those goals where he's 55 out and they've got three blokes around him, like, all right, let's just corral him. And it's like Steph Curry shooting it from the halfway line.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, in order for him to kick those goals from 50 out, he still has to run down to the wing, do his own work, and make their backman be accountable and pull them down forward, because you just can't really sit back and expect your midfield in order to be able to cover him when he comes forward. You have to be accountable.
It is good to watch, though. Like, running into the 50 and, fuck you!
He was always the favourable matchup on Gibson. He's just too fast, too tall. Gibson had probably one of his better games for the year, but that's not saying much, really.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Hawks killed the disposals, and still, I mean, there's a lot of wasteful disposals. I mean, there was almost like 80 more or something like that anyway.
It was a lot.
Yeah, but you're still only getting that far ahead. And I'd love to see what the meters gained were for the possessions, because it couldn't have been too much.
There was a lot of around the back. It was great control. In a way, but it was like eight kicks sideways and backwards before you went forward.
It's kind of been their style this year, though, and not in a good way. In a way where it's like, you figure it out.
Not hitting targets, though. Yeah. That's been the thing. But I think it was the difference was more kicks, less handballs than usual. I mean, yeah, look at that. 100 more kicks than handballs.
Damn.
Whereas usually it's pretty close.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, shit, that is quite significant, isn't it?
It was funny, too, watching Roughhead do a bit of a Frank the Tank. He's had a bit of a shit day. Puts through the winning goal and just puts the fist in the air going, fuck yeah.
So it just says something, doesn't it? You've had a quiet day. I don't know if he took a mark before that. Certainly not a contested one. But it just goes to show that when it's your time, all you need to do is kick it straight.
Like, cometh the hour, cometh the man or
that's
something.
It. Yeah. Wasn't it something that, like you said, for mine, Buddy Franklin was clearly best on ground.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Burgoyne was just behind him. The two number 67s.
Well, Burgoyne, he's been putting his hand up. He's still got the skill, like that. I mean, what's he calling it, smooth?
Well, I mean, they call him Silk.
Yeah, he's still got that skill and it's still showing it, but the team's falling around behind him. And he has to be more of a bigger role, more responsibility, and he's just getting too old to be able to carry that week in, week out. What about the Swans now? Do they just turn the season around and go, all right, we've got to play young people, we've got to figure out where we go the next year, 2 years, 3 years?
They have to get 10 wins from here if they're going to make finals. I don't think they will.
They're already playing the young kids. I mean, that's part of their problem. I mean, what were Richmond when they made that? Remember they made that big run?
11 in a row, I think it was.
Something like that. And they were 3-9.
Yeah.
So the Swans are 3-7. So the template's there. However, I mean, it's a long way.
If Richmond wrote a template, I wouldn't be following it. So at what point do they get a new coach? Start looking for a new coach?
He's got this year, without a doubt. They're not going to sack him. But if, you know, let's say they finish 10th.
Yeah.
He needs to make finals next year. You can't have 2 years out.
Yeah.
Isn't a Buckley contract.
At what point do Gold Coast go, no, he's a good coach, we'll take him?
At any stage at all. Yeah. Any stage at all. Because everyone knows who the next coach of Sydney is. It's Stewie Jew. It's just a matter of what year.
Yeah.
Actually, I just realised if he does get sacked, North's probably going to be the one offering.
Yeah, yep. Fuck.
Well, I don't think Brad will allow that, would he?
Yeah,
who knows?
I don't know what Brad allows, really. Not much.
He's definitely running it down there. It was a scrappy old game, but...
I found it entertaining.
There were two teams that were as bad as each other.
Yeah.
It wasn't pretty footy.
No.
Some of it was quite abysmal, actually.
It was quite a whole load of frantic activity to go nowhere a lot of the time.
A lot of the time. Absolutely it was.
Which, I don't mind that. It's a bit Benny Hill, but fun.
Zach Jones has got to count his lucky stars. So much for all the chest puffing. God damn it.
Chest busting.
During the week about the AFL, about getting rid of the tummy punches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Zach Jones gives the best one we've seen in years, and they're like, it's another fine, isn't it? Hey, fooled ya. Although, to be honest, they came out on Tuesday, I think, and said, we're going to change the rules. Came out on Thursday and went,
Yeah, psych.
I think Ben Cunnington's already put another 10 grand in the kitty. Just saying, all right, let me know when that runs out.
I think the MRP are going to send Luke Hodge a thank you letter as well, because I think he's got about 10 grand for him so far this year.
Yeah.
Blokes keep hitting him and they're like, well, that's 1,500. 1,500 a year.
I think he's on retainer from the MRP.
Setting up his career afterwards.
Yeah. I think he's still ahead.
You reckon what he's given? Yeah. No, because he doesn't get fines. He gets games.
No.
Yeah.
That's why they don't like him. So because
he's just getting the return leg now. Everyone's fixing him up because I think it's his last year.
And I think they're going close to it.
Well, that's what happened with Lloydie. So they're like, shit, got to get in quick. Otherwise, he could be in and out.
Exactly. Swans fans turned on Callum Mills quick, didn't they?
Yeah, it happens.
All eight of them.
you shank one kick and yesterday's news. But anyway, I think Dean Towers is very happy because now he's not the red-headed stepchild. But anyway.
Yeah, imagine trying to get out of the ground at the SCG. Like, if you drove to the match, imagine how hard it would be to pick your silver Mercedes four-wheel drive. Sure. It's like, shit, there's 8,000 of them.
No trains to the SCG, unless it's changed since, 15 years since I've been there. It's all buses. Oh, shit. But anyway. On to Saturday at Etihad Stadium, Bulldogs versus the Saints with the roof open at Etihad. Yep. So I went to this game. It's the first day Etihad game I've been to with the roof open for 10 years, I reckon.
Long time, yeah. I don't remember the last one.
I think it was last year I went to one.
Made it feel a bit cold, but anyway, we had beautiful views of the ground from the third level.
Yeah, got to watch some really, really shit footy.
It was horrible.
Beautiful views.
It was terrible.
The turnovers, I don't know if Bulldogs thought Robertson was playing for him, or they just managed to pick him out. They made him look really, really good. Like, amazing. He was getting possessions all over the ground.
Yeah.
Like, leading out and Bulldogs hitting him right on the chest. But the thing is, no matter how far the Saints got ahead, you just know they're going to be able to play four quarters. Yeah. And sooner or later, the Bulldogs are going to get their shit together, and then Saints are going to have to really step up.
CJ Hannison's put a big request in.
What's that?
For the paycheck.
He's asking for big money, is he?
Well, apparently he's on... you never really know with the AFL media. But they're saying he's on between 500 and 700, and he's asking for one per season.
You're allowed to ask.
Fuck yeah.
Norm Smith medalist.
Exactly so. And look, there are plenty of teams looking for a line breaker, speedy back flanker.
And there's a 20% bump coming in the salary cap.
And I honestly think that's where the Bulldogs, if they're vulnerable, and they are, it's going to be retention of some of those players.
Yeah, of course it is. There'll be some that'll want to hang around, to keep the team together. But they've already lost two or three from their premiership side.
Mm. Yeah, it was sad to see Bob Murphy go down as well.
Yeah.
You got best possible news today, I think, which is, 4 weeks rather than 10 or something. But
and if you're going to see him go down, you want it to be now, not finals.
He is playing good too.
Yeah. The other thing with their list management, you get guys like Stringer. Now, if he plays like he did on the weekend, a bit more consistently.
Absolute standout.
Yeah, if he plays that every week, he's worth top dollar. But the problem is he can play like that 1 week, and next week he might get 3 touches.
Yeah. But everyone was the same this game. Even Pickham was making some easy mistakes, people fumbling the football. Even that young fella, what's his name, Tommy English?
Yeah, his first gamer.
First gamer, yeah. He put his head over the ball and did his best. Yeah. He's only a string bean, but didn't take a step backwards. So you're always happy to see someone like that who's going to put in that effort, especially when there's a bit of problems with people putting an effort around Western Bulldogs at the time.
I think he was very appreciative that the roof was open because he needs a bit of a stand.
Yep.
He's white on rice, that one.
Old mate Nunes as well with 35.
Yeah, Noon's been put in a good effort. Also, Paddy McCartan.
The lesser Jack.
Yeah, well, there's a few Jacks. Paddy McCartan, we've been talking bad about him. How do you think he went?
I didn't like it, to be honest.
What pissed me off the most was that he's fighting for his position and he was playing for free kicks in the first quarter, but he did have some really nice set shots for goal when they needed him too. But just I'm still not sure.
Kicked one. I understand they reckon they got to play him just so he can get right,
Yeah.
At AFL level, but he's certainly not at the standard yet.
Well, I almost feel like if you're not really performing talent-wise that well, then you at least have to show effort, show endeavour, and show something. And when you're just playing for those cheap free kicks, and look, there are heaps of people doing it, and Tigers are just as bad as everyone. But from someone who's already under the microscope, you've got to show that you're here and you're serious and you really want to not be given what you're what your spot
you
is.
Want to be, you know, like those big full forwards of old. Yeah. Like Plugger. Plugger never got free kicks.
No.
Be like Plugger.
To be honest, he gave out a few.
Yeah.
He didn't get as many paid against him as he probably should have.
Probably. but yeah, I didn't think he was good enough, to be honest. However, on the good news for the Saints, I thought that was Sam Gilbert's best game.
Yeah, he did actually.
Best game I've seen for a long time.
Played quite well, yeah.
Got a couple of goals kicked on him, but it wasn't through his lack of effort.
Yeah.
And sometimes he, you know, won a lot of one-on-ones
that
really made a difference. Not enough of a difference.
I thought Longa found his a bit more rhythm this game, knew his capabilities, knew what he was there to do. He's never going to be that much of a threat, making people account for him around the ground, but got his fair share of hit-outs and got enough of the ball. I think it was like 15 handballs or something like that. Sorry. So he's not trying to kick it because he can't kick for shit. So that's all you want from your big man.
What frustrated me about this, and quite a few other games as well, was how shit the tackling was. Like, it's easy to say, Saints won the tackle count dramatically. But most of those tackles, the ball didn't spill.
Yeah.
They were able to handball out of the tackle. To me, that's not a tackle.
Actually, the Hawthorn game, Hawthorn was shocking at that.
Oh, it was hideous. Broke. But,
You did notice in this game, there was the umpires did let a lot of it go, which I didn't mind.
Yeah.
Because it was a scrappy enough game as it was. So, you know, try and get the ball moving. But I think the Saints really lost this in the first quarter.
Yeah.
They were so much cleaner and crisper, but only put two goals on the board.
Well, they got possession at good spots from turnovers, and then they managed to just kick it to the congested part of their forward 50. When you've got old mate around the back, you know, two-on-one positions, and can't go there. Yeah. And it was almost like, I almost feel bad for Montagna, because he's trying to direct them where they should go, and they kick it straight to him. He's like, I don't want it. You know, kick it over there, where we've actually got a chance to open up the field. And so I feel like they just weren't... I mean, and I fucking hate when the commentators always go, no, what you got to do is you lower your eyes. It's almost like a contest of how they can set up some sort of premise so they can just put that in there. You got to widen your eyes, guys. Yeah. Get around the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
All right, on to Melbourne and the Suns. Looked like a great contest for most of the day once they sort of sorted themselves out. But Melbourne just came in with a wet sail.
Yeah, well, it's all about the accuracy of Gold Coast keeping them in it, really. I don't know how much of it was legit, you know, them going to win. But for Gold Coast, you just want to see if people put in effort. And Abel wasn't playing, so... Yeah. Was he? Abel was playing, was he?
No, he's not playing.
Yeah. Little Jeffy Garlett.
Well...
He had his best game in a while.
He did. He kicked five. Five goals, four. It's not a bad turnout.
Some of those shots were bullshit shots that he shouldn't have got. But
the one
did.
That made the highlight reel is little off the outside of the boot. Kick it on your left, mate. I know you're only 2 metres out, but there's a couple of those. You're like, mate, that's what a left boot's for. But it goes through the middle, it doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah, and Melbourne at the moment will take any win they can get. Yeah.
Well, for a small forward to have 9 scoring shots, it means you've had a good day.
Yeah, and I mean, in the last half, it was at 14 goals they kicked. I don't think you can really win a game if you're giving up 14 goals in a half of football. Well, doesn't matter which half it is.
Not just that. I mean, Melbourne kicked 9 goals 10 to three-quarter time and kicked 9 goals 4 in the final term.
Wow.
It says you're running on over, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's without Hogan and Gorn, obviously.
Yep. And old Ede had enough at half-time getting the massage, going, I'm sick of this shit.
Why not? I mean, who knows how long he's going to be a coach for.
Yep.
Make the most of the perks while you got him.
It'd be funny if he like just claims, you know, fucked up his neck, trying to get some compo, a bit of whiplash.
And he's got a lot of footage from the Channel 7 coverage.
Exactly, he's on there. So, yeah, you saw it. You saw it, Your Honor.
He might have broken a hand, too. He tried to punch a wall and didn't quite get through it like Clarko does.
That's well, the moment's like, shit, I'm getting old.
That's it. It's like when Gilchrist dropped the one catch.
Yeah.
Well, that means I'm done.
Yep.
Old mate Pedo too, got absolutely smashed in the ruck.
Wow.
But he was all right around the ground. He got 19 touches. You know, I thought he did quite well. 8 kicks, which is pretty good for him.
Yeah, he's getting around.
Look, he, again, he's like McKernan. He's a stopgap and he knows he's a stopgap.
But I thought Oliver has, again, shown that it's not a one-off for him.
Yep.
He's stringing, you know, weeks and weeks together of great games.
Yeah, and he's the one talent that you really want to try and get your hands on. Like, everyone talks about getting Dusty and that and whatever. Now, throw him $1.5 million, please.
He and Petrarca.
A good team, take them both.
straight swap, Petrarca and Oliver for Martin.
There we go, done.
You had to think about it, though.
Yeah, well, 2-for-1, we need players.
Yep, yeah, true.
Well, yeah, Max Gorn and Dusty could have the same barber. Hmm. Do you reckon Dusty can grow a beard?
But if you've got neck tattoos, yeah. you've got to stay away from the beard,
don't
you?
That's what I thought too, yeah.
You've got to show them off.
Especially, they're pretty good artwork there too. He's not like, you know, you see some tattoos, you're like, yeah, it's like, all right. These look like they're fucking, I don't know, one of the best around the AFL at the moment. Well,
to be fair, if you're the tattoo artist, you're not fucking up his, are you? You end up in a barrel.
I don't know. I mean, there are some pretty shit tattoos going around those parts.
All right, we'll move on to Dreamtime at the G, which the Tigers put on in the last term. No fade out this time.
No.
Although it was tempting fate when, Nankervis kicked the sealer and they said, they can't lose it from here. With 2 minutes to go, I'm like, Jesus Christ.
That's a big call. But Nankervis has been pretty steady kick from outside 50. He's been not good. Too bad. And old Koch with the don't argue on Waller. How about that one?
Yeah. I know. I feel sorry for Tip and Woody in this game because obviously he's having a great year.
Yeah.
An absolute great year. And the commentators are riding him and, you know, where's Tipper? What's he going to do? What's he going to do?
If this happened in the NFL, it'd be a movie already.
Yeah, pretty much. And then this is Indigenous round. And like, oh, what's Tipper going to do today?
Yeah.
And he had an off day.
Yeah.
And they'll focus on him so much and he just couldn't do it.
Yep.
And then Trent Cotchin gives him the big don't argue.
Yeah. And that's just got to hurt your courage when you get up from that way. Like, oh, shit.
Well, because it's Cotchin, it's more of a please don't disagree with me. But
So it was Dusty. It's almost like getting dunked on.
How did you sell the game as a Tigers? You felt nervous going in, or was it like, well, fuck it, we're going to lose anyway. What does it matter?
I was confident going into the game, but half time, not confident at all. If we're kicking points like that and they're staying in it, you're like, we've got to find a way to fuck this up. It's almost a certainty. I think one of the big factors was Brandon Ellis actually having a cracking game.
I was going to say, I know Dusty got the medal.
Yeah.
Brandon Ellis, for me, was just about there.
Yeah, I thought he was. Especially considering, a lot of times he's been a liability, and like you've always said, not from effort. Whatever he's done to turn that around, you know, you've got to focus, whatever, hold on to that, because he can be a very needed player in that role, especially like pushing the ball forward, finding space, not panicking as well, which is a big change for him. And I've been on his back for sure, and even trying to kick on his left now, which is always handy. He's starting to actually get good at it.
Joe Watson had 28 touches. I'll tell you what, I don't think many of them were very effective.
Nah, he is looking a little bit slow.
I think he looks like he's quit.
Well, I mean,
he had a couple of bad frees paid against him too. I say bad because they were probably 50-50s, but he just looked like, oh, come on, this is bullshit. And they had that sort of look where someone's just saying, why do I even bother?
He's always seemed a bit punchy though.
Punchy?
A bit punch drunk, you know.
Yeah. He's looked a little Forrest Gumpish.
Yeah, yes.
That's what you're thinking.
Yep.
He's always had that look about him. Not saying that's the way he's acted.
But it's like, it was lucky he put more effort in football than maths, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's fair enough to say. Well, obviously we know everything that Essendon has been through, and he was at the front of it, at the face of the club at the time. So he'd been through a lot, you know, in the year off and that kind of stuff. And he's come back. It does look like he's come back just to say he did.
Yeah, and it's almost like what they say about fighters. When if you're thinking about retiring, then you should retire. That's the answer. Also, Basher Hooley had another decent game this year, which is proving some sort of consistency there. And I was one that thought he probably would have been out this or next season.
Or looking to move on.
Now he's earning his spot, and we need people like him to be able to step up.
Well, I think that's really what's changed for Richmond this year and why they're going so well. Because, you know, I thought they'd be two wins at this stage of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's guys like Basher and Griggs who are just making smarter decisions.
Yeah, and I mean, Grigg, he's always going to be selfish in the forward 50, but around sort of setting up the zone for the rebound, he's been very handy in directing like our team, almost being like that older statesman there. Instead of just being a bit selfish, he's learned how to, you know, do that effort off the ball when he doesn't have the ball in his hands.
The back line is working damn well at the moment.
Oh, well, I mean, with Rance running the show, and I've always been a big fan of Dylan Grimes.
Yeah.
He is an absolute workhorse, and he's got that wiry backman-like Dustin Fletcher.
He's slowly working in, building into his body, though.
Yeah, get there. I don't think anybody can underestimate Rance. Anyone that says, he's not as good as everyone says he is clearly delusional.
And on the other side of the scale, if Tipper got his tackle broke, little Rioli certainly didn't. He had some nice tackles.
He's been doing that all season. His ability to understand the flow of the game has been the big difference now, and having that confidence behind him. Still not much to him, but he's very good in small spaces.
Yeah,
he just figures his way out through the crowd.
Which will be handy once Bruce comes after him.
Yeah, but what all this sort of pressure from these like mid-tier players stepping up is there's not really a whole lot of room for Lloyd now. I don't think he was on the ground for a whole lot of time and didn't manage to get that many possessions. I mean, he's got a game-winning kick under his belt, but yeah. I mean, that can only run so long.
I still think you need him there because he is that goal-hungry, like, I'm going to go kick this.
Yep.
And there's a place for those kind of players.
Yeah.
But I think what hurt him was Josh Caddy.
Yeah.
Who was, in a way. And made other mistakes as well. It was the best bad game I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was almost Taylor Hunt-esque.
Yeah. he was almost costing them the game because the opportunities that he was missing was ones that they should have got.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was even times where he was taking marks in front of Reroll and that kind of stuff. I'm like, mate, he's the full forward. He's the one that gets it. But
yeah.
Jack didn't have a... He was quite patchy as well, I thought.
Very much so. I mean, he missed one from the edge of the goal square, just about. It's absolutely criminal. And, you know, with Richo on commentary as well.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
What's Richo going to say, though?
Yeah, that can happen.
I would have kicked that.
Once the little man in your head, and you'll go on about the little man in your head.
I did give him a pair of my boots, boys.
Before he starts talking about professional bouncers and all that kind of bullshit.
Oh, geez, wasn't that?
The less Richo talks, the better, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's a lovely bloke.
He's a good bloke to have around the club.
Yep, one of those ones. This game was going on the same time as Adelaide versus Freo. Do we need to say anything about that game?
I think Freo was watching this game too.
Well, hey, look,
they were.
I think sort of the scoreline almost flatters Freo because it's towards the end there. It was looking they were kicking one goal for the whole game.
Would they have two goals to halftime?
Two goals, sorry. Yeah. It looked like it was 100 points was still a flattering margin for Freo, I thought.
100 points considering the downpour that the game started in as well.
Yeah,
I mean, you have a look at the scoreline 20-23 and you say the Crows have been wasteful, but really, with that kind of weather, like to kick 20 goals is unbelievably good.
I thought it was a bit rough text busting out the deck chair. Like, mate, come on.
Yeah, come back with a pint of beer.
I don't blame it all. I mean, I was on Reddit when I was watching both games. I sort of went over to the Adelaide one and went, by the way, guys, the other game's pretty decent.
Actually, I saw on Reddit the... you know, have the halftime sort of interviews with the players, not interviews with players. It's the sit down,
the pieces. Yeah,
yeah. With and they give them the quiz about, you know, who's the biggest goal kicker for biggest goal kicker for Richmond in the history.
And they've gone, Richo was one they picked a lot of times. Yeah.
A few Bartletts.
Yeah, a couple of Bartletts because that's probably who they knew.
Roaches. Taylor Walker. Ivan Marich.
He deadpanned it too. Yeah. He did well.
I'm going to ruin it for you, though. That's from a couple of years ago.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
Anyway, Fife set a record for the most clangers ever recorded
in
a
really?
Game.
Mm,
13, wow. I think it was.
Yeah, something like that. And I think nine of them were in the first quarter, giving away free kicks and that kind of shit. But geez, it looked bad without Sandy there.
Maybe he's just doing his best to try and fit himself in the salary cap of some other team.
Maybe. I know there's a lot of teams that are jump at taking Fife's 13 clangers with
him. Yeah, dude, St Kilda will find a way to ruin him.
I think the only surprise about this game was Eddie Betts didn't kick goal of the year because he's done it in Indigenous round the last 2 years.
Yep, he's done it every round this year so far.
He's second on the Coleman.
Yeah.
And now that Josh Kennedy's injured.
Yep.
But Buddy's still there.
Anyway. Between the Rorys and the Crouchers, they had 130 possessions.
Very unimaginative when it comes to the team sheet at Adelaide, isn't it?
Yep. Mm. But the Crouchers has been stepping up every single game this season. And it was almost...
It's the right time for them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it took them a couple of years just to... They're always big bodies, but maybe just sort of have that confidence or figure out how they fit into that game plan. And now they've mastered it. And that's almost taken a little bit of pressure off of Sloan and players like that, so they can be free to be a bit more, like, then show the natural flair.
Well, it's still, the two games they lost was when Sloan got tagged out of it.
Yeah.
So they've had to readjust and go, right, we can't let that be the be-all and end-all of our side.
Yeah.
So I think that shows good coaching.
He had a fucking day out, though. Like, to get 30 touches... got a couple of goals as well to go with 5 marks and 13 tackles. So he was just around the ball all damn day. I don't think he actually went on the bench.
Probably not. I mean, they all had a day out, though. I mean, you won by 100.
Yeah.
You can say he's got all those stats, probably wasn't even best on ground.
Yeah.
You know? Well, the other Rory got 37 touches. Only 4 tackles, though, and no goals, so fuck him. He wasn't doing that good.
Useless. Slacking off, he was. Speaking about games that nobody watched. The next is Collingwood and Brisbane. I think the most exciting thing about this game was BT saying that the goal on the siren got him up by 45 points.
It's a big goal. I mean, you're talking about the umpires making up the rules as they go along. BT's making up the commentary as he goes along now these days.
Well, he's got to keep himself interested.
The sad thing about that is there's some poor production assistant who got absolutely reamed as soon as they went off air for that.
Yeah.
Because obviously BT wasn't watching the game. Yeah. They just fed him, you know, here's your stuff.
Yeah.
You know, say this. somebody got the absolute full bristle.
Yeah. Somebody's account got hacked.
But Collingwood wastefulness kept Brisbane in the game. You have a look at three-quarter time, 11-16 to 10-6. That's Brisbane making the most of the opportunities.
Mm. Yeah.
End of the day, I mean, class just wins out, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's for sure. And, I mean, it's the same old heads at Collingwood that managed to turn around for them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've got definitely not the skeleton there of their team, but a bit of inconsistency when the season's going on for the rest of the players.
They've got a starting midfield. They've got a starting midfield that anybody would be jealous of with Adams, Pendlebury, Treloar, side bottom.
Yeah.
They just got to get some bookends.
Yeah. Mm. That's a fair call. I mean, who do they really get to fix that up?
Well, they got Darcy Moore is who they've got. I mean, they had Travis Cloke, but he was useless.
Yeah.
In the last couple of years.
But going around, there's not really a whole lot that's available that they can get. It's either going to recruit or, I mean, I don't see who they're going to get to fix these problems.
When they get Magic Door next year on a 5-year contract, that'll be good for them.
But anyway, Hipwood continued kicking some nice goals from outside 50. Actually, there was a couple of nice goals in the game. So there's a couple of highlights there, but it was a game that I was never going to watch.
Nope. Yeah, young Daniel Wells did pretty well again.
Young Daniel Wells, eh?
The young lad, you know, pretty good for someone who's serving 5 weeks out for a VFL incident.
Spoken like a true North fan, which we'll get to. North and Carlton on the Sunday. North looked like that was a little bit too easy for them, but geez, Carlton play well in bursts.
They did. We mentioned what was going to be mentioned at the start of the show. Boomer Harvey turns up to the match in the coach's box after a day of getting a lazy 54 touches and kicking 9 goals.
54 and 9.
9 goals, 5. So he's had 14 shots. Yeah.
By the time he got the coach's box, it was 65 possessions and 12 goals.
he brought the boots along just in case.
I told you. Is he playing? Is it the Northern Football League?
Yeah.
Is that what NFL.
It is? Yeah. It was a real mistake paying him per possession, wasn't it?
But the worst part is they're in Div 2. And they actually were without their top ruckman because the top ruckman took the tip of his finger off with a circular saw on the Friday.
That's great, isn't it?
How bush league footy is that?
I saw somebody mention that, and they were talking about, you know, all those kind of things that you hear.
Yeah.
One of the best ones of those I ever heard was I happened to be watching netball once, or it was on, and they said, you know, this player's been great, but unfortunately she's out with pregnancy. I don't know why, I just thought that was hilarious.
We just forget about that's a possible thing that can happen.
It's like, it's like doing a knee. You're out for a year, at least.
Yeah, true. It might not be the same when you come back.
Anyway, I mean, it's a great game, actually. It was a very highly skilled game. You consider that positions...
Except for Lachie Hansen. He gave you the shits a couple of times.
You consider that, you know, Hawthorne, Sydney, Carlton, North, all around the same in the ladder. Yeah. This had much higher skill than the Friday night game.
Definitely. I mean, I think half of that was just Bryce Gibbs.
He got some class when he needs to.
Yeah.
He had a nice lucky bounce.
Oh, wasn't it? That leg break. Yeah. That's unbelievable. But
that was a gatting ball.
38 touches, 3 goals. Sometimes it's a shame you can only get 3 votes.
Yeah, someone that deserved it. And Mark Murphy always puts his hand up week in, week out. And Carlton, just not enough to get over the line, which is, from that sort of comeback, you expect momentum to be able to carry them, because North have had that sort of ability to fade off in that last quarter. But so it showed hard on both teams for Carlton to be able to come back after that halftime, and for North to be able to just wrestle enough back into victory.
Speaking of not getting over the line, you see Wiedering's move?
Nope.
Tapping it back in.
Yeah.
God damn it.
I can only assume he had a brain fade thinking he was in the forward line. Running with a flight of the ball, I think it was, might have been Higgins kicking it. And he's sort of touched the ball maybe 10 centimetres inside the line. Instead of taking the mark or juggling it over, he's tapped it back in to the goal square.
I can think is he thought, I need to get a hand on this. And didn't think, where am I going to hit it to?
Yeah. And Taylor Garner had given up on the ball and just sort of went, stuck his foot out, goal. He couldn't believe his luck.
It's one of those ones he's almost kicked it by accident.
Yeah, that's one of those ones where you're like, geez, I should buy that bloke a beer.
But between Garner and Trent Dumont, both had great games. And I think they went a long way to getting North over the line. is getting those extra efforts from those guys that you don't expect.
Yeah. Garner's always had the talent. He just hasn't had the consistency to be on the pitch because he's been injured so often.
Yeah.
He's only had 7 kicks, but 3 of them been goals. It's not a bad effort.
Yeah.
Yeah. The most frustrating thing for me is Lockie Hansen. He had some great passages of play and then some terrible fuck-ups.
There was another big moment. Oh, sorry. You going to say?
Atlee was similar too. He's still in the old style Bashahuli in that he runs and then looks for someone.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there was a couple of shockers of those on the weekend where I'm going to keep running, and all those options are gone now.
Del Forrest Gump.
Yeah, Forrest Gump. Keep running. Yeah. There's another interesting moment in this game as well with Jack Silvani giving the palm off to Zeeble.
Yeah, that... Honestly, there was some terrible fucking tackling on this game, and there's no excuse for it. Zeeble especially is generally one of the better tacklers.
That's what I thought too. Like, I know he would have 29 touches or something, and I saw he made the votes in the coaches.
Yeah.
I thought Jack Zeeble was a little bit disappointing in only the way that he should be dominating like Dusty does.
Yeah, he should be. And especially, you just can't let Jack Silvani do that to you because the boys will not let you forget about it during the week.
I'm going to say, nothing against Jack Silvani. He's going to be a classy player, but he's a second-year player and he's undersized.
Yeah.
And to give you the palm off just says that you're taking things too easy.
Yeah, and he's not hiding some intimidating muscles under those long sleeves.
No, I think so.
Honest.
No.
What I actually did like, Cunnington and Woods, three shit quarters. Like, their first three quarters were utterly terrible. I think Cunnington had, maybe 3 possessions until three-quarter time.
Yeah.
But in the last quarter, they've gone, nah, not having this, and managed to turn it on. Wood especially had a great last quarter, kicked a couple of nice ones.
Yep.
And Cunnington just started doing what he started tends playing. To do. Just grunted it out.
On that, I was surprised that North were able to come back so strongly after giving up such a massive third-quarter lead.
Yeah.
It shows, some resolve in the players, but also, like, the coaching staff have got to take some of the credit for that as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, just alone, you'd be scared of what Prescott would be saying to you after the game if you fucked that one up.
I think I'm going to pump up my own tyres because I said this in, I think, round one, that North had struggled until about now with fitness because of so many injuries during preseason. So it's just they're just getting the fitness back in the legs now, and I reckon they're going to be good for the bye.
What about Goldie? Yeah, what did you make of Goldie's game? His
ankle's still fucked.
I think Cruiser definitely had the...
Oh, Cruiser dominated him.
Yeah.
Goldie wasn't even the second best ruckman on the field. I did see a few times he looked really uncomfortable trying to kick the ball. I still think his ankle's cactus, which it absolutely boggles my mind why they're not playing Proust, especially because he had another belter in the VFL.
Yeah, it's getting sick of saying it. At least he was in the squad this week.
But, yeah, you know. He was named, wasn't he?
Yeah, I don't know. Magic Doyle had a decent game too, but...
Who?
Yeah, he's probably not getting another game for North.
No, I don't think so either.
Which is a shame because I think he could be something.
They put a lot of effort into him.
Yeah, I think the only reason he gets another game is if they're trying to audition him for another team.
Yeah, pretty much. Might pump up his price in the last 4 or 5 rounds if finals are off the table. And look, to be honest, they probably are.
Yeah,
I would like to see another team pick him up just because I think he can offer something.
He's an athlete. An NBL team might pick him up.
Football background.
Yeah. And on to the final one. It could have been game of the round, if not game of the year. West Coast and the Giants. And the Giants getting their first ever win over West Coast.
Over there, especially.
Yeah, over there. With the amount of injuries they've got as well. I think they have 26 players to pick from.
Yeah.
But how was this game? This was a brilliant game. You have a look at the last quarter. What was there? 11 goals kicked? 10 goals kicked? In the last quarter, and most of it was just goal for goal finally the Giants strung two together.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And that seemed to be enough. But what a game.
Yeah, only 5 points kicked after halftime, I think.
But weight of possession really had it for the Giants.
Young Boomer Kelly had a blinder.
He's doing everything he can to justify the price tag that North have put on him.
See, at the start of the season, people have gone, $9 million for who?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
And suddenly North recruiting people look like they're precognitive because he's had a breakout season.
They've jumped the gun a little bit.
Unfortunately, we couldn't have signed him in round one.
I was going to say, that'll be the buying low. If they were able to actually make him sign that contract. Because now there'll be a few people that go, yeah, I reckon we could justify that too.
Yeah, the problem is, as has been shown so often, when a club puts out this big multi-million dollar bid, someone else always swoops in and gets it.
you say that as a North Melbourne supporter. I mean, I don't think there are Collingwood supporters that are thinking the same thing.
No, that's true.
Certainly not Sydney supporters.
But look, again, I don't fault North for putting the numbers in front of them. That's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's actually been very bold that North are chasing a lot of big talent out there.
Yeah, fucking go for it. They've got like salary cap space. I think we're going to have to give someone a pay rise next year if
you don't attract any talent. Yeah.
Just to make sure we're paying the right amount of salary cap.
Paying the minimum.
There's going to be some bootstrapper going, oh, fuck, 50 grand. Geez, I'll take that.
But I think that the worst news for West Coast is obviously... Josh Kennedy going down.
Yep.
I haven't seen the medical report, but it sounds like calf, not Achilles, which is strangely probably good news.
Yeah. Well, if it's Achilles, it's season.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and maybe never right again. If it's calf, and even if it's a hell of a strain.
Well, it sounds bad.
I mean, it looks like he plays with a dodgy calf anyway, so this could fix him up, let's be honest. He'd come back kicking like Matthew Lloyd or something.
Toby Green's only kicked two goals, but they were both from the boundary line and both from about 50.
He was massive.
Not a bad effort.
Everyone gets stuck in him saying he's a dirty little bastard.
Well, he is.
Yeah. He is, but he can play.
Fucking oath he can play.
Yep.
He can be a dirty little bastard on my team any day of the week.
Well, every team's got their dirty little shithead.
Or a few, yeah.
Some of them, yeah. You've outsourced yours. One of them playing this week was a record for the most 30 possessions in a row.
No, career. Yeah, Sam Mitchell overtook Robert Harvey. Mm. I like again something. You know, he's got. I think it's 118 or something like that.
Yeah,
and you know. Always, I'd love Facebook comments just reading like, "Yeah, they weren't as good as Harvey's, and you know, he got his in a year." Like, mate, yeah. No.
It's like you can remember
can
remember all 3,000 possessions. I'm sure.
Yeah,
it's almost like LeBron passing Jordan for all time scoring. Like his part of the all time scoring
in finals.
In finals, yeah, so far. And then you see people comparing. Oh, but this game, this is how it was then. Guys, you don't even have a right to be in the conversation. Just shut the fuck up. Look at the stats and go, wow.
Appreciate what it is.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but it's only second best.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, fuck you, bunch shit, Jordan's best. Like, dude, yeah, he's just not the point. Not the point.
Who cares? Yeah. Jetta, I think, had the best game he's had in years and justified his place in the team, really.
Yeah, well, they've been looking for him to be able to do this because they need him to be able to do this. Yeah. And, well, did he have a couple of games out as well this season? He's been fit the whole season.
Yeah, and I think it was injury,
right.
But it was also we don't need you.
It seems to be some of those little fellas go across to West Australia and I don't know if it's just the great weather or the good beaches or something, but they tend to get a bit too relaxed and it shows,
they're home.
Halfway through the season, yeah. Yeah, which is kind of strange. They fight their ass off to get across there and end up sinking teams.
Well, what does this mean for the season, though? I think it means that GWS has stamped themselves like they are legitimate. You know, they were premiership favourites before the start.
I'd say they're favourites again, to be honest.
I still have the Crows ahead.
Yeah, I still took the Crows, but GWS, they're always improving. You know, you haven't seen the best of them yet, I don't feel.
A lot of players to come back.
They still have a lot of pieces of that puzzle that they can slot in. And I don't think you really know what is the best GWS side yet. Whereas Adelaide, you know the number one side. You know what they're capable of. GWS can still be that mystery, you know. They're still getting very hard to match up against.
No, I still think this puts them ahead of the Crows. Yeah. Simply because beating West Coast in West Coast with a reduced injury list and having to fight your way into the match.
Massive game.
It's ridiculously huge. It's a monument to football to be able to beat West Coast in West Coast, let alone to do it the way they did it with who they had.
Yeah. And what about West Coast then? I still think that they will be hoping that Nick Nat gets right.
Yep.
And remember last year, the last month, they were the form team in the competition.
Yeah, yeah.
And ran into the Bulldogs, unfortunately. They can still do that.
Yeah, I reckon it's queuing the rack.
Cue in the rack time.
If Kennedy is out for, say, six games, yeah, it'll be longer than 6 weeks because it'll be
the bye week.
And you don't have Nick Nat, this isn't your year.
It's tough. Makes life very tough.
So I reckon it's almost time you go, look, we just need to get our young lads good, get our gun players right, make sure they recover from injury properly, and then we can run at it. Because without Nick Nat, they're not the same side. Without Kennedy in there, they're another 10% off.
Well, I mean, there's half their goals.
Yeah.
Or probably 40% of their goals.
And like 90% of their X factor.
Yeah. So someone like Jack Darling's got to step up and start playing it big.
Yeah.
Because, he's been underwhelming.
Well, that's it. It doesn't matter how many possessions people like Gaff get, or even if Yo has a great game. If there's no one to kick the goals, then it's going to be wasteful.
Bit of a waste.
I wouldn't mind seeing Yo move forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you might have to.
What some of them might do is just play a four, you know, like Lacroix, Yo, you know, even bloody Cripps or somebody, you know, all running around the forward.
Yeah. It's going to be a time where they're going to have the opportunity to figure this stuff out. So, could just see one player step up who's not regularly known as a forward player, or maybe get spread out across a couple, and a different strategy might be the change they need.
Drew Petrie, time to step up.
Yep. Here he comes.
He's back in this one.
He had an appropriate game.
An appropriate game. That is the right way to say it, I think. All right, let's have a quick look at round 11 then. Again, starting on Thursday night, we've got Port hosting Hawthorn at Adelaide Oval. I've already put in my tips on the app this week, and I put the margin at quite large.
Large to quite large for this game. I don't think it's going to really be too much of a struggle for Port Adelaide to get this one across the line. They'll be looking at continuing their form. They've got great percentage. They just need some wins on the board to jump up the ladder.
I think they're behind Adelaide on percentage by 0.5%, I think. Yeah. If you just pure percentage.
I think it's 0.5% in two games.
It is amazing when you consider their percentage and the number of wins compared to Frio's.
Yeah.
We've got like 6 wins and under, I think they're about third or fourth worst percentage.
One thing I love about this season is that there's no slam dunk games, really. Because Hawthorn's best will beat Port's worst.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, I can understand that.
But
there's not much crossover, though.
As a Venn diagram, there is a slim crossover bit. And, you know, maybe Burgoyne stays there and just goes, fuck it, I'll join Port next year anyway. But I'm tipping Port. I think Paddy Ryder is going to have an absolute fucking day.
I think so too. Paddy Ryder will be the key to this one. The tall stocks. I mean, McAvoy's played all right, but he's not athletic enough to keep up with Ryder, or Trengrove, or
not in the air or around the ground
or Westhoff. No,
like everything McAvoy does, Ryder does better.
But you know, Tyrone Vickery's there as well. All right, on to Friday night. Geelong hosting the other Adelaide side in first versus third. What a cracker of a game for Friday night.
It's going to be a great game.
This will be whoever loses the pretender, whoever wins is the contender. And I can't see Adelaide losing it. I think they'll give him a fair hiding.
I feel like Geelong have played two good games in a row down at their home. Not in a row, but two good games in front of that new grandstand.
Yep.
Maybe the extra crowd in there gets them over the line.
Maybe that's what it is.
And it's always good to see Dangerfield playing against his old midfield team.
Yep.
Does not shy away from trying to give it to him either. So
Why would he?
This is going to be a tightly fought contest. And I reckon I'm going for Geelong. I think they'll get across the line.
Adelaide will blow him out of the water. That's who I'm on.
I tell you, it's an absolute toss-up, this game. But I'm going to go with Geelong in an upset, just because I reckon that they can contain Sloan. It'd be a great game, though. Easily match of the round. Gold Coast are hosting West Coast at Metricon. If Gary comes back, could make this very interesting.
Yeah,
I think if you were looking for a value bet, this is the one. Because it's a long fucking plane flight.
It is.
Yeah.
After not an embarrassing loss, but a tough loss.
Yeah, and then losing Kennedy as well puts their whole structure in disarray.
Yeah,
I'm probably just talking myself up because I saw they were paying $4. I want to justify the bet.
Nah, baby, I heard on the radio they're a sure thing. It was me talking. But...
Exactly. And listen to this bloke. He sounds like you. I was on the Suns. I'm going to back the Suns just because I think their back line will be able to hold the structure of the reduced West Coast outfit.
It's going to be a struggle to see where West Coast is going to get these goals from. I think if Ablett's in, I reckon there's been enough players in the Gold Coast squad that have shown an endeavour, that are trying to get there, and this could be the one where they turn it around. And they haven't been altogether bad. They've played some decent footy from quarter to quarter. It's just a matter of they can put it together for a game. And this might be the one where they turn around.
Yeah, it feels weird tipping 16th over 6th, but I might go on Gold Coast in this one as well.
Fuck, there go the odds.
Giants are hosting Essendon at Spotless.
Ooh. This is another one where Essendon's best will beat the Giants' worst, but even there's a very much a smaller crossover than the Hawks Port. I think GWS will get a percentage booster here.
No, it's pretty hard to tip Essendon going across to Sydney in the form that GWS is in.
But this season, though, that's why Essendon could win.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It makes no sense.
Oh, absolutely, they could.
See, I just want Essendon to be a bigger disappointment than the Tigers. So.
Well, I mean, at the minute, I think Essendon are actually pretty happy with
it. Yeah, we tried our best. We tried our best to be disappointed, but...
Well, speaking of that then, Etihad Stadium, Saturday night, North versus the Tigers. 13th versus 5th, but it could be a great game.
Again, each team's best will beat the other's worst, but there's a shit ton of overlap in that Venn diagram because you don't know... The best North will probably beat an average Richmond, and an average best Richmond will beat an average North. This is one that's fucking hard to tip.
It could be nil all in the second half.
I tell you what, if either team gets 30 points up, jump on the other side.
Yeah, exactly.
I think one of the things that concerns me is that during the week, we got a notification from Asada.
Yeah.
Apparently not saying where we were, so I don't know if we might have got our drugs for this game. So
no,
might have made a bit of trouble.
That was Dusty. He didn't want to tell him where he was, and he was in Arden Street trying on Guernseys.
He said you couldn't handle the truth. well, obviously I'm going for the Tigers.
I'm a North.
You know what? Nankervis could be the deciding factor in this one.
Actually, they need to put Proust in.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have to.
If they put Gold in on Nankervis, North's in shit.
Yeah.
If they put Proust in, that's going to be great to watch.
Yeah, that actually be a battle of the game.
Well, Proust has one up on Mumford, and Nankervis is probably the next biggest bloke.
Plus, Proust is good around the ground too. So
he's mobile.
Yeah, Nankervis can't just run off him and think that he's going to be able to have Proust follow around. He's going to have to run back.
Sorry, my mind's gone blank. Who's the North Melbourne tagger? Who's out?
Ben Jacobs. He's
if he comes back in,
he's back through. He was through Werribee last week.
Yep.
He could certainly come back this week.
I mean, there's only one reason he'd come back, and that's a big first game up.
Yep. Do you put him on Koch? Or you put him on Dusty?
Dusty every day. Dusty.
I'm saying you can tag Koch. Tagging Dusty is fucking hard.
Yeah, it is a good point.
I don't think Jacobs can tackle Dusty.
Yeah, but maybe just, I don't know, keep the ball away from him.
Yeah.
Because once he gets it, that's it.
Yeah.
It's too late. Dockers are hosting Collingwood over in Perth.
I don't fucking know.
Look, I think it's just going to be the midfield of... Is Sandilands playing?
Nope.
Yeah, no. So I think you're going to have Grundy, not Grundy,
okay, yeah, Grundy, Grundy, yeah, Grundy, Brody.
Grundy, Treloar, and Adams would be too much for Freo to be able to handle. I think they're in the back foot from the start.
You see, if on Sunday night you hear, oh yeah, they won by 30 points, you're still going to have to ask who,
which
team, because it could go completely either way, especially being over in Perth. I don't think Fife will have two bad games in a row. But I don't know if that's going to matter so much. I really want Collingwood to lose, but I think they're going to do it.
I think their overall midfield is too good at the minute. It's just, if Jamie Elliott can keep kicking goals and if Darcy Moore starts to get a bit of confidence, they're every chance. But everyone knows it's a tough road trip. But
where are Freo's goals going to come from?
By weight of possession.
Yeah, that's really it. It's just going to be the lock it in the forward line and hope eventually we put one through.
Look, they can get it through run. You know, and obviously the wet weather, I mean, they are the worst side, just their makeup for wet weather. And it was pissing down in Adelaide. So if they get a nice dry day in Perth and the Hill brothers are running and Walters is running, they're tough to slow down.
Yes, it's a lot of boxes to have to, or a lot of dots to connect in order for that to happen.
But exactly.
It's going to be hopefully a good fight. I don't want it to be too one-sided either way.
Yeah, I did see a great comment too during the week that Ross the Boss going through the midlife crisis, blown all his money on a Harley. that was really good.
Yeah, it's not
one of mine, I can't remember what it was. But
it was Harley Bennell.
he's not loving life, young Harley Bennell.
He's all right now, he's got blown by Ross.
All right, that'll do us for the Round 11 preview as well. So, thanks for listening. You know, drop a comment so we know that you're there.
Yep.
You exist, and looking forward to a decent weekend of footy with the buys starting.
It's going
to
be a good one.
Base.
Say it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.